So this morning my word is really simple. It's nothing extraordinary, but it's simple, and sometimes simple is powerful. And it's about my journey over the last summer, and my walk with God. And my prayer is that it will encourage you. It most probably will challenge you. It might make you laugh or cry, I don't know. But most importantly of all, what I really want is you to really want to abide in the presence of God. Because this is the result of me abiding in the presence of God. And I'll explain that a little bit more later on as I go through. Really fits in with many of the words we've heard over the last few weeks. So I've just looked back and I'm thinking, Alison's word on encouraging us to spend time in Bible study and prayer. Nikki's word on being warriors, not worriers. Rich's word on having that radical faith to be a rope holder. And then last week, Nigel Farmer's word on being kingdom carriers. So this week, have you been taking your keys, your money, your phone, and Jesus as you've walked out the door? Some really practical things, and this message is really practical about things that you may want to think about and do, which can God can then change you and move in your lives. So are you ready for this little walk with me through my challenge over the last few months? So all through, my life, I've not been very good at just stopping and resting. I'm not, never been that type of person. Unless I'm on holiday, when I go completely splat, that's the only time that I find it, give myself permission to stop, really. And when I look back, and I was thinking about this, it was probably a trait I picked up from my mum. She could never sit still. She was always too busy. I think she said to me once, "Do you know, I've never sat still and watched a film all the way through." And I could really believe it. And bless her, she had a lot to cope with. She had three children. She had to support my dad running the farm. And at the same time, she ran a guest house. So she had a lot on her plate. So you can see why she found it difficult to sit down and just spend time with us. And really, looking back as a hindsight, I just see that sometimes I find it difficult just to sit and be. And I think it first picked this up when I was at university. That was a few years ago now. I became a Christian when I was at university, and God spoke to me about this because I think it was in my third year. It's that point in time where everything gets really, really busy and pressurised. I just got overwhelmed. Just couldn't see get my head above water. And one of my Christian friends brought that beautiful psalm verse in Psalms 46:10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And at that point, I thought, yes, I need to be still. And I began to learn and trust God and to look to him when I was going through difficult times. But, you know, our pressures never go away. If there's not one thing, there's always another. And it's how we respond to them that's different when we spend time in the presence of God. It's how we handle those things when we're in the presence of God and how he helps us to find our way through. And it's a daily choice we have to make. Every day we have to get up and decide, are we going to focus on God or are we going to focus on our problems? Which is going to be the biggest draw? And it's really important that we focus on God. It's really a battle for the mind often that we have to do. And, you know, sometimes I don't win. My problems overtake me and I have to then realise, actually, God, I need to come back to you. Because as it says in Lamentations 3, 22-24, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And that's that waiting for him. It's saying, actually, God, I've got all this in front of me and I can't cope. I can't do this on my own. I need to wait on you. I need to give this to you. and it's abiding in his presence. So each day is a new beginning with God by our side. So each day we have to decide that. So how have things changed over the last year? I think God gave me a really big shake-up at New Wine last year when he prompted me to join the prayer team, something I hadn't expected to do, but as you know, sometimes you sit in a meeting and God says, yeah, I think you'd be good at doing that, or yeah, you should do that. So with a bit of trepidation, I went and joined the prayer team, and I really had to seek God earnestly, listen to his voice and wait. What was he speaking to me to speak to somebody as I prayed? I didn't know people I was praying for. I didn't know what their situations were. I had to hear the God word for them. I had to see what God wanted me to say to these complete strangers. But as I did, God gave me words, and it was just so strengthened my faith, and I know it did the people I was praying for, because sometimes you pray a particular word over somebody and it's like a light bulb goes on. It's like Michelle was saying, that light bulb goes on and it makes a difference. It's like they have a breakthrough in their lives. And that's so important. But only God can give you that. And that's when you really seek him. So it built my faith. And I came away from New Rhine really hungry for God. So when the leadership decided in October to start the Draw the Circle book, I was really hungry for that. And some of the thoughts and testimonies I would like to share with you are from spending some more time in the presence of God. So when I'm talking about spending more time, I must probably spend a little bit more time, quality time with God. But for me, as with most of us, we're busy. We live busy lives. And actually, for me, it's about that continual talk with God on a daily basis. It's that continual checking in with God to say, God, what are you saying about this situation? I've got this problem. God, what are you going to do and what do I need to do about it? So that it's that being in tune with God, with the Holy Spirit, is moment by moment, which is really, really important. It's like a continual prayer, Is Toby still around?
He's
they've all let me down, the youth, eh? But there we go. I was going to challenge them in a minute, but I'll see if you can remember, since they're not here. I've learned that listening as well as speaking is so important in our times of personal and corporate prayer. And you may be able to recollect the preach that Dave brought, and he gave a word to each of the letters of pray. So can you remember what they were? So P?
Pause.
R?
Reflect.
Rejoice. Whoa. A. And Y?
Yield.
Okay, good. I said it'd be a challenge. I didn't realise. Anyway, there we go. So this was based on a preach by Pete Grieg, the leader of the 24/7 prayer movement. And for me, the P is so important. That pause is essential to wait on God and focus on him. And it's from this point that you can rejoice and you can ask God for what he's really put on your heart, and you can surrender to his will. So the P has been really important. And sometimes it's not about spending more time in God, but it's recognising where our source is. This morning we've been encouraged to remember the authority that God has, how big God is. And it's from this point when you realise who you're focusing on and who you're standing on and really who your saviour and who your source is, it's so important. And we need to remember what our source is in these times. Remember that God is the source that we look to and that we lean on. And he's our hiding place, as it says in Psalms. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And that's right. He is our hiding place at this time, and he will protect us. Because life can be tough, and we know that at the moment, and it can be overwhelming, and it pushes us to the edge. Our spirits get out of rest, and then it gets difficult to focus on positives, and our worries can take over. But as Nikki's preach on warriors, not worriers, encouraged us, God is big enough to deal with our problems. We just need to focus on him and hand them over to him. And the only way I can manage to do what I do is because God is my support. He's my source. He's the one that when I'm feeling, actually, God, I can't go any further, I need to look to him and I need to say, God, right, I'm going to abide in your presence. And from that, that is where I'll get my strength from. As the Draw the Circle book really encouraged us, we do our bit and God does the rest. It's just knowing what your bit is that you need to realise. So I just want to read to you a little bit from what I wrote on the 1st of January this year before we started Draw the Circle book. So I was preparing, really beginning to seek God again for what he wanted to do. And this is what I wrote. As I prepare for Draw the Circle with the whole church, I'm expectant, excited, but watchful. May God open my eyes to his will and ways and heart. May the church capture a new heart of passion. Little note to self, actually. So if you developed a passion, that's because my prayer at the beginning of January said you develop a passion. I didn't say what in, so sorry if I've given you a passion or something that you didn't want. But note to self, I think I needed to be more specific on that one. But he also said to me at that point in time, abide in my presence. He is my source. So right at the beginning of January, he was telling me to abide in his presence. And he took me back, and some of you will remember, and it's interesting that Bob and Chris are here at this time, to meeting at Speedwell School. Many, many years ago, we were there. If you know where it is, you'll know that since that time it's been bulldozed down. It's now the Brunel Academy and completely new school. But we were meeting in there as a church at that point in time. And I can remember God gave me a picture which has stayed with me. Do you remember? So we get these moments where you remember where you were when God spoke to you because they're so significant. And God spoke to me at that point. So that must have been the late 80s, I think. Must have been about that time. And God gave me a picture of this tree. Now, this tree was barren. It looked dead. It was in a parched land, and it looked like it was in its winter state, but it looked really dead. And God spoke to me about this tree. He said, I want you to restore this tree. I want you to restore this tree. And what he was meaning by that is, I want to restore people's lives that feel dead, are not going anywhere. They need to be restored. And God gave me that picture, and it stayed with me ever since. And I've always loved being able to speak and support people and talk to people about God and encourage people in a positive way. And many of the things I've done and I do are about that restoration, about that encouragement. But sometimes you forget your vision, don't you? And actually God needs to reawaken it, bring it back up again and let it live, and maybe in a different context. So I know when I felt we were doing that, when we were fostering for a period of time, I felt that we were trying to bring healing and restoration into Will's life at that time. And there's many things that we've done. But when we started, right at the beginning of this year, God said to me, you are an encourager. Continue in this gifting. Don't let that fall. Look for ways that you can encourage people. And do it prophetically. Speak into people's lives. It's interesting the youth aren't here, but I love working with the youth. It can be so, so hard at times. And many a time I think Alice and I would have said, right, that's it. Our average age for youth workers is way, way above most other youth leaders in this city. But I know God has placed us there for this time. I know he wants us to encourage this very special group of young people that we have, and they are very special in many ways, and we love them dearly. He wants us to speak into their lives and encourage them. You see, as we speak into people's lives and we give them an identity that God sees in them, they change. That's such an important thing, that people realise what their identity is in God, because that changes their thinking. Often their thinking is what they hear maybe at school and the negatives, but when you speak God's word into them, It makes a difference to them. But to be able to do that, I needed to hear the whisper of God to do this. And as I do that, and as I see, and sometimes in our youth meetings, sometimes God will just pop a word into my thinking, and it's for one of the youth, and I'll just speak it, and I say, this is what God says of you. This is who you are. This is what you need to do. And I know it's God because I feel that quickening. That's what God is continuing me to do, wanting me to do. But I need to do that. The only way I can do that is by spending time with him, being in tune with him, finding his Holy Spirit. So one of my challenges is to you is, have you got a dream, a calling, a word over your life, or promises that God has given you that you've let fall to the ground? Is it time for you to seek God to find what that is, or how he wants to change that word or use that word that he's put into your lives? Because purpose brings hope, and you start expecting to God to move through you when you have that purpose. So my challenge to you today is, ask him for that word and what he wants to do through you. So just moving on in terms of another area which God has been speaking to me, and it's really just so apt that I'd written this word, but something happened yesterday which just really confirmed it. In these uncertain times, it's often interesting, some people begin to reflect on what, or more importantly, who is important to them. It's fine, it's not a problem. You're very important to us, Jesse. So another area that God has been speaking to me about is about reconciliation. And there have been a number of instances over since the end of last year and the beginning of this year where I've just bumped into people, or people have stopped me, God has prompted me to send a card to people. And God loves reconciliations. Or I was at a Christian event and I met somebody I hadn't seen for a long, long time. And it's really interesting that God wants us to be in the ministry of reconciliation. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 19, he says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed us to this message of reconciliation. God loves reconciliation, and that's why Jesus came. That's why we take the bread and the wine, because of the reconciliation that God loves to do. And it's caused me to reflect, have I forgiven people? Do I have a problem with people? If I bumped into them, would I have a problem with people? And do you know, it's often God prepares your heart to meet people that you will meet maybe the next day, week, or next month. And the number of instances I've had of where I've met people, it's just not been a problem, because God has already spoken to me about reconciliation and meeting these people. And it's something that we need to always be in front of us. Is there something that we need to sort out? Is there something that we need to do to break the ice with a relationship? Do you know, life is too precious and sometimes too short, and we can't let things go unresolved. We just can't. That's not in God's heart. We need to do it in his time, with his grace and strength to and his love to be able to break through in these situations. And we need real wisdom. But my challenge to you is, are there any relationships where you need to take a first step with God's wisdom? Yeah. Or pray about it, that you need to start forgiving somebody for what happened, or they forgive you? It's such an important area that God has been speaking to me about. And I think he's speaking to you, many of you. So if somebody's on your mind and you're thinking, I think God is on your case with this, don't let it drop. Do something about it. He wants to work this through. Work it through with him. He will equip you. But don't delay. Don't delay. Like I said, life is too precious and sometimes too short, and we need to outwork what God is saying to us. Amen. You see, when we spend more time with God, it changes us, makes us more like him, and it does maintain us through the pressures of life when they crowd in. It builds our faith, and we become expectant for the Holy Spirit to move and break through. And we've been talking a lot about revival. And revival will come as God works a change through us. It's often as God works in us, we begin to change, and that has a ripple effect out on the people we meet, our families, our friends, our neighbours, our communities. But it starts with us. And we've got sometimes become so desperate for God to move. And sometimes I wonder in my life, am I desperate enough? So I didn't do Dry January because I don't like doing things when other people do things. I don't like to be often told. I will do it if I'm told to do it. But so I did Dry February instead. And you say, well, that's the shortest month. Well, it did have one more day than all the other, it usually does. But so I did Dry February. And actually, it went into the beginning of March. Because I got to the point, actually, at the beginning, yeah, I'd really like a glass of wine on a Friday. Really would like a glass of wine on a Friday. But as time went on, and I started to seek God, I really found that actually I was feeling a real hunger for God. I was really, God, what is this about? Okay, that wasn't, my mind was fixed then and I wasn't going to break that promise I'd given God. But he really decided to put on my heart, I needed to be desperate for more of him. I needed to be desperate to see things change. And if I was desperate, would I see things changed above my fleshly desires? I needed to start having that hunger and that desperation. So again, that's something. Sometimes we need to do something a little bit different. And sometimes outworking that can take a while. For me, it must probably took me 5 weeks for me to get to the point that God was speaking to me about something when I fasted from alcohol. But remember the authority you have in God. We've been talking about that this morning. And through his power and his grace, we need to be in his presence if he's going to reveal to us his heart. In Hebrews 4:14-16, it says, it reminds us that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence and we can find all we need to help in our time of need. So we need to remember how big God is. We live in uncertain times, but something I read a couple of weeks ago, actually, it was from the U version of the Bible. You get it on your phone. It's one of their studies. If you ever want to look up for a particular study, they're a really good source of information. And it was just a 5-day study written by Eleanor Watkins, and it was To Everything a Time. Okay, and one of the things she very aptly wrote back in May 16, this was, and I'm just going to read it to you because I think it really does speak to us in these times. But in the midst of all this uncertainty, there is a safe place to be, a rock on which to stand secure, the rock Jesus Christ, who came into the world to live as a man and redeem us by his death. When we decide to follow him, we know that we are safe, not in the sense that nothing bad will ever happen to us, but secure in the knowledge that in every storm, every joy or sorrow, good times and bad, he is with us and will never leave us. His love endures forever and will never change. And he has a perfect plan for each one, a blueprint especially designed for us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he has a blueprint that he'll never leave you? Do you believe that he loves you that much? Something we continually feed into the youth. God loves you. God has good plans for you. He'll never leave you. And it's like a drip, drip, drip feed that we sow into their lives. I'm sure some of it goes in. There you go. So in these times, we just need to look to God and we need to lean on him for all you need and pray. And pray for those things. So just moving on then to something else that God has been speaking and or happened, really, and this might make you laugh a little bit. I look back and snigger, but that's my sense of humour. So one of the things we were encouraged to do through the Draw the Circle readings was to think about doing something new, which might result in opportunities for God to move. So as you know, I work in Gloucestershire County Council as a finance manager, and I work with children's social care and also the school budgets for additional leads. And it's quite a pressurised time, really. Our forecast position is over £21 million overspent. That's about 13% of the budget. And doing the same old things is not resolving the problem. So I'm working with managers to try and look at a different approach. Can we do something new that will turn this situation around? It's going to be a bit of a marathon, but I'm dedicated to try and support them to do that. Do you know, sometimes we need to do something different if we're going to have an impact. So one of the testimonies I have that happened, I think, before Christmas, actually, there's a bit in the book that talked about fasting. Now, because of my medication and stuff like that, it's really difficult for me to fast from food. I used to do it several years ago, but now I just cannot do it, and for it to be safe. But I was talking to God about this, and he said, well, you can forego hot drinks. I thought, okay, God, I'll do that. I'll give it a go. And the problem is I don't function if I've not had my cup of tea in the morning. I don't know if any of you are like that, but that's me. I don't function. And so the day really didn't turn out how I expected it to. And although I don't have a lot of caffeinated drinks during the day, that cup of tea in the beginning of the day and maybe a coffee midway through the morning, I'm a creature of habit, you know, I have my drinks regularly, and it was having a bit of a negative effect. So in the afternoon, I had a senior leadership meeting with all the directors, and I couldn't stay awake. Just couldn't. You know that moment where you just fall asleep and you just cat out for the most second. Are any of you there at the moment? I can't see who you are. That's all right then. But I was in that place and I must have just nodded for that brief second. And it's that point where you look up and you think, has anybody noticed? Has anybody noticed? Don't think so. Let's carry on. So I got to the end of the day I was talking to God about this. God, what was all that about? That didn't really have any impact. May have looked a fool, but it didn't have an impact on what I wanted to do for you. The following day, having my cup of tea and all back to normal, my first meeting was with a director who was at that previous day's meeting, and he's fairly new to the organisation. And I sat in the meeting, and his first question to me said, are you okay? You looked like you were struggling yesterday. That was a very polite way of saying you fell to sleep, really, but that was him kind of thing. So he did, and I thought, okay, what do I do here? I could just bat it off and carry on, or I could be completely transparent. So as we were reading this book, I think it was really talking to us about being bold and intentional. So I thought, right, I'm going to give you it now. You've asked the question. So I said, right, I'm fasting. I believe in Jesus, and I believe that fasting is a way to get closer to God. And why I was struggling yesterday is because I didn't have any hot drinks. But what it did, it opened up for us to have an amazing conversation about his faith and his relationship, where he was at and what he was doing and what he might think about doing, and also enabled me to explain my faith to him and what was important to him. And for somebody I hadn't worked with that much, it was just a really precious time, because he knows who I am now. He knows I'm a Christian, as most people at work do, just the way I am, the things I say, the things I don't say, actually. That can be just as important. But it was such a precious time. And I think what it says to me, so I had to laugh, really. I thought, God, you knew exactly what you were doing. I didn't know what I was doing, but you knew exactly what was going to happen. But I had to be bold, and I had to be intentional about responding to that call and capturing God's heart. So again, another challenge for you. Is God asking you to do something new or different to see an impact in your situation? I don't know what that is for you. Maybe very different. But sometimes we have to do that little thing that makes a difference that has an impact that people begin to question why. And often the response is really, really positive. Really positive. So again, another challenge for you. Just to pick up, finally, really, one of the other testimonies I had. And as you spend time in God's presence, he begins to soften your heart and he reveals his heart to you. And things affect you very differently. So one morning on my way to work, I had my car share with me. I had Radio 4 on. I was driving up the M5, as I do. And four subjects came on the radio that morning that completely left me an emotional wreck by the end of my journey. I couldn't really switch it off because I had the car share there, so it was a bit tricky. Anyway, I was trying not to sort of... So the first one, and it's a bit sorry that Rod has gone, actually. The first thing that came up, they talked about persecuted Christians and the work that Open Doors do. And I really commend Rod, if you're listening to this later on, I really commend you for the work that you do for Open Doors, for how you support them, how you give out that word to persecuted Christians. So I really commend you, because that work is so, so important. Our brothers and sisters, where it's not easy for them to meet and share God's word across the world, God wants us to be aware of that and to pray for them, and we should never forget them out there. So that was the first subject. I thought, oh, okay, that's a good one, God. Then he moved on to three other subjects, which for some people may not mean a lot, but for others it may be very, very personal and very emotional. And those three subjects were miscarriage, menopause, and child pornography. So as you can realise, by the end of my journey, those things had really touched me, and I think I got to the car park and was glad to switch the radio off, actually, because I think I just about, my heart was just overflowing with God's heart and hurt, really. I think each one of those, I mean, Rich's encouragement about going to those meetings on pornography, it's a huge issue. That's a church we need to grasp and speak out against. Miscarriage, again, at that particular point in time can be very painful when that happens. And many people go through it and don't say a lot. And it's really, really difficult. Disappointment of hope not ever coming through. And it's really tough. And as a church, we need to care for people that are feeling that, love them through it, help them express how they're allowed to express their feelings. But it's a really painful time. And the other area is menopause. And as a church, we don't often talk about menopause. And I suppose as a woman, I can stand up here and talk a little bit more. But it's a significant thing for us around my age. And also for our husbands as well, because it has an impact. And something we as a church need to support one another through, to be able to talk through as well, what the implications are, what can we do to support one another. It's really, can be really tough. But what I've also found with some of these issues as well, particularly around the menopause, is that I've just had conversations with my neighbour. I don't know, it just happened, and one of my sister-in-laws as well just brought it up. I don't know if it's just at a certain age it becomes more easier to talk about it, but it's an issue out there, and as a church we mustn't sweep it under the carpet, we must recognise it for what it is and the help we need to give people. And it's that listening ear that often God asks us to have, that softening of our heart that says, I can listen to this and I can support you, and I'll help you work through this. Often we can't sort things out, but we can be there for people. We can pray them through. We can talk it through. And it's so, so important. As a church, we're there for people. And often now, people may just want to talk to you about how they're feeling, they're anxious. And we just have that listening ear, which can provide a comfort or an assurance or a hope. That's really important. So as we abide in the presence of God, he changes our heart. He softens it. He makes us see things that maybe we'd have just glossed over before. So those are a few testimonies, really, that that God has put on my heart to share with you. I'm expecting more. I'm expecting that we continue to focus on God. As we continue to abide in his presence, he will work through us and we will see changes. We will work through this uncertain time, this tough, challenging time that we've got. So my prayer is that this word is a living word that makes a difference to your lives and the lives of others. These are extraordinary times, but we need to stand in faith and peace and to set a good example and show God's love in all these situations. So just to go through, just in case you forgot, okay, just what my challenges were for you. So firstly, for you to abide in his presence, whether in prayer, Bible study, worship or meditation, wherever you are, wherever that is, listen to his heart and plans for you. Are you continually in contact with the one that is the source of all we need? Secondly, is God asking you to do something new to make a difference and have an impact? Thirdly, what are the dreams and promises that you have let fall that God wants to reawaken or even to give you for the first time? Fourthly, are there people God wants to reconcile you with and you need to take the initiative? And lastly, is your heart soft to God's heart in terms of social issues and the challenges that many people face? So what will be your response today? Will you commit to going away and seeking God in these areas? Will you abide in his presence and find out his plan for your life? Amen.